Amen. Matthew chapter 26 will be read in your hearing. I will read from verse 36 to verse 46. Amen. Thank God for y'all again. Amen. If you're down and out, just tell Jesus about it. Because sometimes people get in situations and they complain, but it's okay to do that. But just tell Jesus about it and just whisper a prayer to him. Get in your little secret closet and he's going to work it out for you. Huh? Yes, he will. And a lot of people neglect to do that. They just go around mumbling and complaining, but tell God. He knows all about it. He knows just what to do. He can do more with it than you can. Amen. Are you ready, saints? Matthew chapter 26, beginning at verse 36. It says, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and said unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then said he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further, and he fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thy will. And he cometh unto the disciples, and findeth them asleep, and said unto Peter, What, could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not in temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time, saying the same words. Then cometh he to his disciples and said unto them, Sleep on now and take your rest. Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us be going. Behold, he is at hand that doth betray me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this time and opportunity to preach your word. Lord, thank you for the people of God, Lord, in this auditorium who are sitting and waiting patiently. And now, Lord, I just pray that you will speak to our hearts from heaven above through thy word, Lord, that it might uplift thy people and encourage their hearts. Thank you, Father, for he, the Holy Spirit, who indwells us and nudges us and move us on a little further down the road. Bless now, O God, your people again. Bless Pastor Ricks and his wife and the congregation here at New Berean Baptist Church. Father, we love you. Father, forgive me of my sins. Cleanse my heart if any thoughts that contrary to the word of God. And Father, fill me with thy Holy Spirit that I might bring forth your word in spirit and demonstration power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Saints, look, if you have your pencil, write this down. We're going to talk about the church crowd. Is that all right? You're saved, so I'm not going to question that. That's what most, people here, they say they're saved, so I'm not going to question that. So you say that's okay. Huh? You know where you're going when you die. Amen. Let us move on a little further. Saints, I have been a preacher for about 28 years. I have been in many localities. I'm amazed that the church, the organization, and that God has organized the spiritual organism. The church, according to the Bible, is the pilgrim and ground of truth, saints. The church oftentimes is one way in appearance, isn't that right? And another way in attitude and actions. The church crowd is no different today than it was in yesteryears in Jesus' day. Can I get a witness? The pastor who started the church was Jesus Christ. He was the founder of the local church. In Matthew 16, he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Saints, the church has now been standing and established for more than over 2,000 years. Isn't that good, saints? I want to tell you something, saints. The church crowd I'm talking about, the church is not a club. The church is not a social club. But I'm talking about the local church that was established by Jesus Christ. Isn't God good? The first church was not only a big church. Matter of fact, it only had about 13 members. Jesus and his disciples, and he and himself being the 13th person. It was the very first church with a perfect pastor with an imperfect people. Can I get a witness? The church crowd. The first church had a perfect pastor. I want you to know that, huh? That Jesus was perfect. There was no guile or anything found in him as the Lamb of God. So again, I want to tell you that the church had 13 members. Let's divide it up into four groups. I want to say to every man, woman, boy, and girl today, that you fit somewhere in this group. God is good, the church crowd. When we find place in the church, we find a crowd in the church. Huh? We ought to be amazed much about how Jesus Christ alone loves you and me. God is love, and in him is no darkness. Isn't that good? He loved us so much that he laid down his life for you and for me. I love God because he first loved me. Huh? What amazes me so much about our Father, my Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, and his Son, the Savior, Jesus, Savior of the world, who have forgiven me of my sins and placed my name on heaven's roll. I know where I'm going when I leave from this point upward. And not only that, saints, he turned me around and he put me on the straight path of to righteousness. So regardless who I am, I cannot but live right because God has imputed his righteousness in me. And the song says, when I want to do wrong, I have to do right because the Holy Spirit is in me, nudging me, so you got to make a decision. The best decision you can do is to do right because you have been made righteous. Isn't God good? The church crowd. I'm amazed all that God did for me. You ought to be happy about what God has done for you. If you can't tell it, let me tell it. The church crowd. Let us look at the very first church. We see the personalities. In the church, there are many personalities because we all are different. We all don't think alike. We don't do things the same way. Huh? The story takes place here in Matthew 26. Jesus is in the upper room, and now he's about to go to Calvary's cross. He's getting ready to die for the sins of the world. But before he can die, there must be some things that had to be laid out, saints. First of all, saints, he's getting ready to institute his supper. We see, saints, we keep the ordinance of the church, the Lord's Supper. We have two ordinances, the Lord's Supper and baptism. We remember the Lord. However we want to do it, what is first Sunday, what is fourth Sunday, but we remember the Lord's Supper by way of keeping it. And then after we are saved, we want to baptize new converts. That's the first thing we want to do is get them down in the pool in the water, and there's evidence that they have been saved. The church crowd, Look at verse 22. And they began to say one to another, let me look it back up a little bit. In verse 21, he states that one of you shall betray me. Saints, listen. People in churches today are still betraying Jesus. I found out, saints, as I began to look at some things, you ought to live so God can use you. And if you don't live so God can use you, you're betraying him. Huh? God is good. So he states that one of you shall betray me. And then in verse 22, and they began to say one to another, Lord, is it me? Huh? Sometimes we ought to take self-examination and see, are we betraying Jesus? Huh? Are we doing what he has called us to do? So after he institutes the Lord's Supper, he takes the church to a place called Gethsemane. Saints, Gethsemane was, the word means olive press. Jesus at this point in time, his life was being squeezed because he was about to go to Calvary. Saints, sometimes the toils of this life can kind of squeeze us. But we know Jesus paid for it all. He was squeezed. Olive press. And so the locality tells us that Garden of Gethsemane was just located a little plot of land east of the city of Jerusalem. God is good, saints. Notice that Jesus didn't take with him the multitude. Saints, sometime Jesus had a purpose and he had a reason why he didn't want the multitudes with him. It's something that, as I looked at this text, that Jesus wanted me to see especially. Notice that Jesus, what he does from here. We know when Jesus was here on earth, he did many wonderful works. He did many sign miracles to prove who he was. He raised the dead. And he healed the sick, saints. But yet he did more than that. He was preparing to go to the cross. Let us look at that. I want you and me as a church crowd today to find out why it is important to be in church. Now let us look at that. Verse 36. Here's the church crowd. Here's the pastor. Here's the 12 disciples with him who make up the church, the living local church that will be established by Jesus, the living organism. Jesus is about to talk to his father about becoming sin for the whole world, to die for the whole world. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:21 that God had made Jesus to become sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Jesus became sin for you and for me, and he bore our sins on Calvary's cross. Isn't that good, saints? A man who knew no sin will be taking on the sins of the world. Let us reach back a little bit. Think about John, the apostle, the writer, when he saw Jesus coming, and he said, Behold, the Lamb of God, which come to take away the sin of the world. Good, saying that was good. He would take away the sin of the world. It tells us that God had a plan, and instituted a plan that his son would come into the world to take away sin. And that's why you and I can rejoice today and do what we do for him, because we know him and we know what he done for us. He can do us like no other person can do us. Isn't that right, saints? Huh? He's good. He saved your soul and he made you whole. You think about when people talked about you, say, that boy or that young lady, they never gonna be nothing in life. But God took you and he made you somebody in him. That's what God can do for you and for me. And I'm glad about it today. God is good, isn't he? Taking on the whole sin of the world, saints. You know, you don't live like you used to live. And not only that, saints, you don't think like you used to think. Huh? God has given us so much. He's done so much. And, hasn't he? Huh? He was going to die on an old rugged cross on a place called Golgotha's Hill, Calvary's cross. Yes, that was our Savior that was going to die. Look at verse 36. It says, then Jesus coming with them unto a place called Gethsemane and said unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. Verse 37 says, and he took with him Peter, James, to two sons of Zebedee. In mathematical terms, saints, as you look at this and you think about the 12, the ones that he took with him, he took three, the inner circle. That leaves us eight. They were sitting outside of the gate. You see, saints, we got church crowd. They're sitting outside of the gate. I didn't say they wouldn't see, but you got the majority sitting on the inside. Huh? Okay, let us look at this then. All right. We have the same people in the church. When the church doors are open, they are here. Their names might be on the roll. We have those sitting outside the gate. Where are they? We have the minority sitting on the inside of the gate. Think about all the ministries that are in the church. Think about the choir. Sometimes as I travel from church to church, some people that have duties, they leave the choir and they go to the nursery and they go to work and they make sure things are right. You have the junior church, the youth pastor, he go and he takes charge of the youth church. You have the van ministry driver in the morning. He gets in the van and he goes down the road and he picks up the people and he brings them to church. You have the kitchen detail lady. She is in the kitchen to make sure the food is served whenever they serve, and she makes sure the place is cleaned up when everyone been served. So that enhances, that tells us, as you look at that, that's a small minority. And you notice the text said, and they went a little further. Saints, we need to go a little further with Jesus. Huh? We need to do one more notch. We need to do a little more. It says, and he went a little further. You notice it says when Jesus prayed, it says he went three times he prayed, and he went a little further, saints. We need to stick a little closer to Jesus. That's what we need to do. If we stick to Jesus, he's going to guide us and he's going to lead us. God is good, saints. John, he says, sit here. Sit ye here. If you see the story, there are eight disciples, as I had alluded to you. They were sitting outside the gate, saints. The biggest part of the church crowd, what? Are sitting idle while the small amount, the minority, is carrying all the heavy load. Huh? I have to tell the truth, saints. I didn't say they wasn't saved. I never questioned about salvation that tell me they saved. That, hey, are you saved? That's fine. But you got people in churches today are just sitting idle, not doing anything. And they need to go a little further down the road. Huh? They need to get busy and put their hand to the work that God has called them to do. God has called every one of us and given every one of us talents and gifts. And we need to exercise those talents and gifts. We need to go a little further. Don't throw it in the ground. Listen, saints, let me move on a little further. You can go to any church. You can talk to any pastor. They'll tell you the same thing that goes in any church. As I said, saints, I've been to many churches and localities to preach, and it's basically the same crowd. It's basically the same thing. Huh? Again, saints, I'm amazed that God's my Father. He made a heaven for me that I can dwell with him one day forever. I'm just a pilgrim and a stranger walking down here in this world. Huh? Walking down here in this world. We are just passing through. This world is not our home. It is just a dressing room. We're making preparation. But while we're making preparation, God wants us to put our hands to the work and get busy. He wants us to go a little further down the road. No matter what he called you to do, can you go a little further? Can you do just a little bit more? Huh? Isn't God good? Saints, I had an experience. I was talking to a friend of mine, and a guy that worked on some of my cars. He says, Mr. Holler, I got cable TV, and says now it's got so high and so expensive that I just cut it almost out to basic stuff. I basically almost don't even have it. He said, I found that I can take that money and use it somewhere else. A lot of the stuff on TV is not fit to look at anyway. It's just a waste of our money. And so we need to take those resources and pull it to Jesus and give it to the church so we can go a little further. Do a little more. Climb up a little higher. Isn't God good, saints? Oh, I love him today because he's done so much for me. I'm talking about the church crowd. And so it was said that a traveling missionary evangelist, talking about independent Baptist churches, he said that in the independent Baptist churches, 70% of the people are not saved. And I thought to myself, what I've been told, I do not accept that. And to this day, I haven't accepted that because the gospel is made clear, the good news that Jesus died for our sins, that he was buried and he rose triumphant from the dead. And so most Bible-believing churches, they preach and they teach the good news of the gospel. You know what teaching is? Sharing knowledge and imparting knowledge so they may grow in the grace of knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. And so I had to refute that. I just don't accept that. God is good, saints, isn't it? God is good. The church crowd. Huh? You see, in the church, we got various classes going on in the Bible-believing church. I'm talking about the Bible-believing church. Classes going on. It's not a social issue, but it's a spiritual issue. What God can do, he done so much for us. Huh? He brought us out of darkness into the marvelous light. God is good. And so again, church, we see people that are they're standing still. They're not moving. The Spirit of God will nudge us, and he will get us moving, and he'll keep us from standing still. If people will stay in the Word, study the Word, have personal meditations, I found that out as I get a little older, if we will have meditations and study the Word and get hungry for the Word, we'll get moving for the Lord Jesus Christ. We won't be standing still and wasting time and just spinning the wheel going anywhere. The church crowd, saints, God is good. So I want to tell you today, saints, whatever God has told you to do, do it. Do it to the glory of God. Huh? He called you to do something. Huh? Yes, he has. He called all of us to do something. Isn't God good, saints? Look at the word further. The word further means, and when I saw that, it means that God wants us to move out from where we are, do a little more. Can you do a little more, saints? Can we encourage one another for those that don't come to prayer meeting, for those that don't come and study the Bible? Can we encourage them to come and hear the Word of God? We only have Bible study 1 hour. Jesus said, can you not watch with me for 1 hour while I go yonder and pray? Prayer meeting Bible study is only 1 hour. So we see people, they neglect the Word of God. Oh, how they forfeit so many blessings because they're not under the Word of God and a pastor of God. Amen. Isn't God good? Can you not watch 1 hour, saints, and pray? Jesus said, while I go yonder, he prepared to go to the cross. He's already died for you and for me, and he's made a way, and he's opened a way, and he keeps on making a way for us. I'll tell you what happened to me. I was in my doctor's office, and I'm going to move on. Hispanic lady, she's the medical assistant that takes you back to your weight and height and all that stuff, blood pressure, and you know, whatever. And I said, Miss Claudia, how you feeling? Okay. I said, what are your needs today? She said, Mr. Holler, I haven't gotten my school supplies for my 3 children. I said, okay. I said, well, would you like some free resources or some material for your children? She said, yes. I said, I'm heading out to Walmart when I leave here. So I gave her, God blessed me to give her what she had on the paper, on the list. And by doing that, I told the wife, I said, you didn't look at it God's way. I said, by being obedient to the Spirit of God, because the Spirit of God was leading me to bless her with those supplies. And God had took the amount of money that I had spent, and he gave it back sixfold. He turned it over 6 times. I said, and I shared that with the wife. She said, I didn't know that. I didn't look at it like that. you know, her mind was focused on school. But anyway, that's what God will do. Can you go a little further? Can you give 10 more cents on the dollar or 10 more cents in the offering? Can you go a little further? All the resources. One thing that God hold us accountable for is our talents, our time, and our finances. That's what he holds us accountable for. Can we go a little further? God bless you, saints. We're going to move on. So when we see that Jesus had done so many things, you remember the story about Jairus' daughter. He healed her, and the blind man, he opened his eyes. You and I were blind one time and could not see. He opened your eyes, and he opened my eyes. We see what Jesus did. He fed the multitude when they were hungry. Didn't have any bread. The disciples said, "Lord, we don't have any meat. We are insufficient to feed the crowd." He said, "What do you have?" What did they have? Two fishes and five loaves. And what did he do? He blessed it and he broke it and he multiplied it. Sometimes it hits home. People don't have sufficient in the refrigerator, and they get a knock on the door. Boom, boom, boom. I'm out here, and you can come to the food pantry and you can get some food free. The news gets out and you get a call. So God always got a way. He's always got a plan. I'm thinking about the song that is sung. He keeps on making a way out of no way. He'll take the little bit that you have and he will multiply. Little as much when God is in it. God is good, saints. Yes, he is. So then, saints, I'm almost through. We see again, we have the teaching ministry in the church. We have the kitchen ministry, the lady that serves the meals. And then we have the cleanup crew that comes afterward. And no local church would exist if it wasn't for some of the business people that God had called in the church to do the work. And so again, I want to tell you and encourage your heart, don't worry about the numbers that's around you. Just keep on doing what you've been doing. And God will add to the church. Huh? Yes, he will. Jesus, in his day, he had some busy people. We need to get busy. Souls are falling by the wayside. Thug and muggers are proud of our cities, and lives are being lost. And so we need to tell them about Jesus Christ. Tell them about the good news that Jesus died. You don't have to share a long story. You can utilize a track and put it in the hand and keep on going with, keep on getting it up. God got other means. Contact, you come in tact with them and you can share the good news. Let me move on. The church needs to plug in to God's resources, and we need to encourage those that are outside the gate, sitting idle, to get busy with those who are inside the gate. Look at that in the Garden of Gethsemane again, a little closer. Jesus, when he got to the third time, he said, "Sleep on now." But he said, and the Bible says, and he went a little further. Saints, we need to move on down the road. Enough time has been wasted. And can I get a witness? Enough time has been wasted about this group and that group. We need to work together in unison and harmony, endeavoring, as Paul says, to keep the unity of the peace, the bond of peace. And so when we do that, the devil can't squeeze in and separate us. Huh? Isn't that right, saints? He can't come in and separate us because our hearts and our minds are linked together. I know we are imperfect people, but I serve a master that's perfect. Huh? And he knows all about my troubles. He knows all about your troubles. And he's willing to fix it for you. Amen. God, good saints. And I'm almost finished. Listen, saints. We have a church crowd that loves Jesus. They come on Sunday morning service. They come on Wednesday nights. They go beyond the call, the duty of call. They do what's necessary to be done. Yes, some are employed on jobs, and they still come to the church. and they serve. They work a regular job, and they put in and they serve time. That's the spirit and the power of God. They could not do it if God hadn't enabled them through the person of the Holy Spirit to be able to do what they do. Huh? Some people are home lying in bed. Huh? Don't get quiet on me. All right, I'm going to preach it. I'm going to fix it. Go ahead and move on. And he went a little further. Jesus was now always striving to go a little further. He went a little further. He went to the cross for you and for me. He had passion. He did whatever he had to do with passion. We need to do things with passion towards mankind, that it might melt their hearts and that they be converted. He moved a little further up. Look at the price Jesus paid for you and for me and for the whole world. And if people would realize and they would think about what it cost God the Father and Jesus Christ his life, and if they really think about it and meditate on it, it will break their hearts to the point that they will want to do right. Regardless of how they feel, people need to put aside their feelings and look at the facts that God has provided. Passion. We need to have passion for missionaries. Look at that, saints. We need to have passion. Listen. Ask God to help us to go a little further. That little dime might help the missionary to go a little further in meeting the needs of people in the foreign mission. Jesus prayed 3 times. If it be possible, Father, pass, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. We need to let God's will be done. Not our will. You see the problem with the world and people today, they want their will to be done before God's will be done. When you let God's will be done, then he's going to let your will be done. Amen, saints. That's the message. Listen, saints, he went all the way to the cross for you and for me. He died that you and I might be set free. The songwriter says, there are no more chains holding me. I'm free. I'm free. We have been set free from the power and from the penalty of sin, which meant death, eternally separated from God. But now Jesus Christ, the righteous judge, when we was on trial in the court, he said, not guilty. Huh? Jesus negotiated. He didn't negotiate it, but he was our defense. And he said, no, I died for him and her. And so the judge said, he being a judge as well, said, you are acquitted. You're not found guilty because of what I've done for them. Amen. That's the message, saints, the church crowd. I didn't give you the full dose, but I have given you some of it, the church crowd. It's not always...